ನಮಾಮಿ ಭಗವತ್ಪಾದ ಶಂಕರಂ ಲೋಕಶಂಕರಂ ಶಂಕರಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯಂ ಕೇಶವಂ ಬಾದರಾಯಣಂ ಸೂತ್ರಭಾಷ್ಯಕೃತೌ ವಂದೇ ಭಗವಂತೌ ಪುನಃ ಪುನಃ. ಓಂ ಹರಿ ಓಂ ತತ್ತತ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ. ಪ್ರಣಾಮ್ಸ್ ಟು ಆಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಯು ಹಿಯರ್. When we decided to have the class this evening, we were talking, what should we talk on? And then I said, okay, they said something from Upanishads. Then I said, okay, let us do only one mantra from this Upanishad. It's each hour's Upanishad. Before we enter into the verse which I wanted to do today, the mantra, let us see the very meaning of the word Upanishad. You all must have heard many times from many teachers. Upanishad, the word Upanishad means Brahma Vidya. Upanishad is equal to Brahma Vidya. Vidya means knowledge, you all know. And Brahma Shabdaha, the word Brahma, Brahman, Nakaranta Pullinga Shabdaha, Napusakalinga Shabdaha, neutrogender word. Brahman, like Brahma, the short word, not Brahma, Brahma. Now, this, the word Brahma implies the nature of reality. Who the Brahma implies means here the absolute reality, the ultimate truth of the entire cosmos. Prapancha Satyam, the truth of the entire universe, is implied by the term Brahma. Therefore, knowledge of the absolute reality, Brahma Vidya. So the different ways of seeing the meaning of this word Upanishad. So here the Upanishad Brahma Vidya does two things. We can say the two functions are involved. First, it destroys ignorance, that's one function. And next thing, it destroys ignorance born, ignorance caused, samsaraha, the life of transmigration. These two things can be taken to be one as one function, and this Brahma Vidya also brings Jivatma and Paramatma together. That's the first thing. Jivatma and Paramatma are not far away from each other, of course, but they seem to be as though they're away from each other, and distance is caused by, there's no really speak distance at all, caused by Ajnanam. So the ignorance caused distance is there between Jivatma and Paramatma. Therefore, this Brahma Vidya brings Jivatma and Paramatma together, and it destroys ignorance and ignorance born samsara. That is beautifully said in one small verse. Upaniya imam atmanam brahma apasta dvayam punaha nihantya vidyam tajjancha tasmad upanishad mata. It is said to be Upanishad. Therefore, it is said to be Upanishad, Brahma Vidya. What does it do? Upaniya imam atmanam, bringing this Atma, this individual self here, and Brahma, apastha dvayam punaha, bring them together. So bring them together means what? Revealing the identity between this individual self and the total self, microcosmic being and the macrocosmic being. Nihanti, it destroys. Avidyam, it destroys ignorance. Tajjancha, and samsara born of that ignorance. Therefore, it is said to be Upanishad. Tasmad Upanishad Mata. Don't go into detail of that verse again. Just I want to just begin my talk like this. I didn't prepare anything, just I'm talking to you like this. Because there's no real distance between Jivatma, the truth of the individual, and Paramatma, the truth of the whole, which is inclusive of the individual, which includes the individual. There's no real distance at all. The distance happens to be caused by Ajnanam, ignorance. And only knowledge can remove that distance, the seeming distance. There's no real distance. Because the truth of the individual is non-separate from Paramatma, the whole, the truth of the whole. The individual is non-different from Paramatma, non-separate from Paramatma. So this knowledge brings, it removes the distance between Jivatma and Paramatma caused by ignorance. Thereby, it brings them together. Apastha dvayam punaha upaneti. Then nihanti avidyam. It destroys ignorance. Thereby, also tajyam means it also destroys the samsara, the life of transmigration caused by this Ajnanam. Anyway, which means, so the very word, this very definition tells Upanishad or many Upanishadaha, Upanishads, which constitute, which form the concluding or the end portion of the Veda Shastram called Veda Antashastram or Jnana Kandaha, serves as a means of knowledge of the truth. So the Upanishad as a textbook, it's outside us, we think, isn't it? But it serves as the means of knowledge, because therefore the very word, the textbook, is also known by the term Upanishad, because that which serves as the means of knowledge of the truth is known by the word Upanishad. Here the question should come, okay, what is this Brahma Vidya for? That also be understood. It removes the ajnanam, and then it removes the samsara caused by ajnanam, and then it, which means there is samsaraha, and which is not really desirable. So samyak sarati iti samsaraha, that which unobstructedly, without any problem, that which keeps going beginninglessly, endlessly, isn't it, keeps going. That's why it's called, you know, samsaraha, the life of transmigration. So here, the ajnanam, the ignorance, is the cause of this samsaraha. Therefore, unless and until one resolves this ajnanam, there's no way of getting rid of, getting out of, becoming free from this samsaraha called bondage, karma bandha. So samsara sagaraha, ocean of samsaraha. It is the jnanam alone will free one from bondage. Therefore, it's very clear. So Upanishad serves as the means of knowledge of the reality. It is this knowledge of the reality which alone will free one from samsaraha. So mokshaha, samsarat nivrittihi, or mokshaha, is only through jnanam. So jnanam being the means, and moksha from samsara, the freedom from samsara, being the end is very clear. Even though we say moksha sadhyam is the end to be accomplished, and knowledge is the means to accomplish this end, we say that. Even though we say it's the means and end, but we have to remember one fact: this knowledge itself is moksha. They are identical. Knowledge is an end by itself. Because ignorance is bondage, therefore knowledge is moksha. The means and the end are identical. And one thing, this knowledge of the truth, the reality of the whole, one has to know, because in knowing the reality, one comes to know the very nature of the reality. Like if you know what the fire is, you will know the nature of the fire being heat, the intrinsic nature. Because you cannot separate fire and the heat. You cannot separate sun and the light. Because suryasya prakashaha, suryaha prakashaha, they are inseparable, because light is the intrinsic nature of the sun. Similarly, heat is the intrinsic property of the fire. They are inseparable. So we can say, agnehe swarupam aushyam. Heat is the inseparable intrinsic nature, swarupam. Similarly, prakashaha, light, is the inseparable intrinsic nature of the very sun. Similarly, here the nature of the reality is fullness, purnatvam. And fullness is the synonym of the word limitlessness. And limitlessness is the synonym of the word also what? Happiness. And we have to remember the fact, happiness is the ultimate choiceless end of the entire humanity, all the human minds. What is that one thing which is sought after by all the minds, always, everywhere, by people of all times? Sarveshu kaleshu, sarvehi janehi, sarvatra, sarveshu, staneshu, yathu, that which is searched, that which is sought after, that which is needed, is this happiness. That's why in Sanskritam we have another word for the actual word is anandaha. And Bhagavan Krishnaha is also called Krishnaha because he is the personification of Purnatvam, anandaha. Have you seen happiness? No. Have you heard happiness? No. Have you smelt happiness? No. Have you tasted happiness? No. So what is happiness then? Have you felt happiness? Is it a state of mind? No. Happiness is not a state of mind. Happiness is not an object of any of your sense organs. But still, happiness is something which is sought after by all the human minds. That is why it's the happiness is the universal end. It's the one common human end. Why Krishnaha? The very word Krishnaha means Karshati iti Krishnaha. Akarshati iti Krishnaha. What is that which attracts, draws, drags all the minds towards itself, irrespective of whose mind it is, whether it's a Christian mind, a Muslim mind, a Hindu mind, a Sikh mind, come on, Asian, American, Indian, whichever mind, isn't it? All the minds, one thing which draws, which attracts all the minds towards itself is happiness, which is searched for by all the minds is happiness. That's why Krishnaha actually means all attractive. If you want exact meaning of the word Krishnaha, all attractive. So all attractive, what is it which is all attractive? Happiness. Therefore, Krishna is equal to all attractive. All attractive is equal to happiness. Therefore, Krishna is equal to happiness. And that happiness personified is this our Krishna. Ananda Surupaha. Our fullness. Nirevin Totrame Krishna. In Tamil we say. Nirevukku. If you give a form to fullness, that is Krishna. Therefore, this happiness is something, a choiceless end. And this happiness is actually not a state of mind. It is it's a synonym of the word fullness or limitlessness. Therefore, unless and until you understand what fullness means, what limitlessness means, there's no way of understanding what happiness is. And this happiness, fullness, limitlessness is available for recognition only as the nature of reality. Parabrahmanaha swarupatvena iva. You can always arrive at it only as the nature of the reality. Like unless and until you know what the fire means, there's no way of knowing what the heat is. Unless and until you know what the reality is, there's no way of arriving at what fullness means. Isn't it? Now therefore, this happiness is the ultimate end means. If we want to attain happiness, you can never attain happiness. It is already there always, as the very nature of the reality. So, because we are ignorant of what the reality is, Therefore, we do not know what fullness is. But by knowing what reality is, we can arrive at what fullness is. And here, one more step Upanishad teaches us. How can you know the reality? Because to understand, to own, to take ownership of happiness, or to know what happiness is, I need to choicelessly know the reality. And how can I know the reality? The reality again has to be recognized only as one's own Swarupam. Why? Because the truth of the whole must be truth of everything that which is part and parcel of the whole. And every one of us being, every individual being part of the whole, the truth of the whole has to be recognized, is available for recognition only in one's own mind, as one's own self, as the very substance of the substantive I, the first person singular pronoun I. Like when you say the word, the substantive wave cannot exist independently without the substance water, the H2O. There's no substantive, there can't be a substantive wave minus the substance water. Similarly, the same substance, one and only substance, the substance of every other wave and all the waves and the entire ocean. So the substance is one, water the H2O. But the substantives are two, as wave and the ocean. The same way, the substance here of the first person singular pronoun I, the substance is the same substance, and the same is the substance of the substantive this. This means the third person singular pronoun this, which stands, which indicates the entire cosmos. Aham idam. Substance of the substantive I, first person singular pronoun, is the same substance of the substantive Jagat. Substance is one, substantives are two. Aham idam. I, this cosmos. And knowing the substance, being one and the only substance, you resolve both I and this. The difference also will be resolved. Aham, idam, difference also will be resolved. The difference being relative also will be very clear. Therefore, when you see the reality as the truth of the whole, you say Brahma. The same truth, the same reality of the whole, look at it as the truth obtaining in every individual, pervading everything here, you call the truth by the word Atma. So Atma itself means what? Sarvam apnoti iti Atma. Which means that which pervades everything, obtaining as the innermost essence of every being, every individual, is Atma. Therefore, Atma Jnanam Eva Brahma Jnanam. So knowledge of the truth of an individual, truth of one's own self, is actually the knowledge of the truth of the whole. And knowledge of the truth of the whole is in fact discovery of what fullness is. Knowledge of what happiness is or fullness is in fact attainment of happiness. There's no, so attainment through knowledge. Aridale adaidal, isn't it? That's why even Govindaha, the word Govindaha means, I'm going a little out because I'm seeing only one day today. That's why. The word Govindaha means go. Literally people say go means knowledge. Go means cow. Vindaha means protector. Govindaha, Gopalaha means protector of cows, protector of jivas. Pashupatihi Govindaha. Actually speaking, go means jnanam. Devi Ambal's name is Gomati, and Vindaha, one who has to be attained through knowledge. The Lord cannot be attained, isn't it? Can be attained only through knowledge. Understanding what the Lord is, attaining the Lord. This is the very word Govinda means. No, one who has to be attained through knowledge. Arival adayapada vendiya. That's the meaning, Govinda means, actual meaning. Anyway, so what I want to say here, so happiness is something which is already there, which need not be attained, cannot be attained, which means, which remains covered by ajnanam, ignorance. Ignorance can cover things. I always tell this example. When I was in London, when I came to London 11 years ago, first time, and I had to stay with a Sri Lankan family, and they kept a basket full of fruits called rambutan. And I never heard the word rambutan. I did not even know the word rambutan meant a fruit. And before they left, both husband and wife, they left for the work, and they told me, Swamini ji, please have rambutan, lots of rambutan. Take rambutan. And they just went up. I was searching. I went out inside. I came outside. I stood near the dining table. There's a dining table. On the table is a basket. The basket full of fruits. They did not even put any cloth or anything. It was not covered. Okay? It was kept open. It was not even gloomy weather in London. It was like August, some summer time. Bright sun. I was there, very much there. I walked up and down, until they came back in the evening. I did not pick one. You know, they told me to take rambutan. They told me to take rambutan. They told me to take rambutan. You know, why? They did not cover it, they did not keep it inside. It was not put in the fridge. Did not hide anywhere. It was kept outside. The fruits were all, then the basket full of fruits kept outside. Kept open. I did not pick up one. You know why? What covered? My ignorance of what rambutan means. Understand? Because I did not know what the word rambutan meant. I did not know. It was there. So, it is how ignorance covers. Suppose even if you have something, if you do not know what it is at home, it is as good as not having it. Similarly here, so ajnanam eva avranoti. Nothing covers. What covers here, avaranam here, is what? What is it which covers? Only ignorance. So here, my God, all the time we are searching for, you know, nitya nirantara sukham. Everlasting peace, happiness, and which need not be attained, cannot be attained, because already there as the very sarupam of everything that is here, a sarupam of one's own self, a very sarupam of the truth of the whole. Therefore, that alone is what Upanishad says, Shastra says, which means, what is it which prevents me from taking ownership of what I am already? Ajnanam. Therefore, we don't even attain anything here. Ajnana nivrittihi is what? Removal of ignorance itself is what? When they came back and told me, this is what rambutan. Understand? So if we know what, you know, if we know what the reality is, then what happiness is becomes very clear, means we did not attain it. We will just be reveling in it. Therefore, jnanam is mokshaha. And that truth also is available for recognition as one's own surupam. And the shastram does not even teach, you are, that directly doesn't say. Shastram is the knack. Shastram always makes us understand first what you are not. Because as an individual, all of us have, what are you, who are you means, we have very strong identity, is it? With every the individual as a whole, every individual is a combination of composition of many factors. He has a gross body, and there are subtle factors which indwell the gross body, and for the want of expression, we say subtle body. Really speaking, there's no subtle body, understand? Because it doesn't have a form. Subtle body, with the term we use, because it indwells the gross body. And indwells means what? There are many aspects which put together constitute the subtle body. So here, and this the gross body, subtle body, and we also have this ajnanam, ignorance, which is the causal body. And then there's no other. Why there's a different, I'll explain later on. Causal body, and we say there is the truth, without which the gross body, subtle body, or this causal body cannot exist at all, which is Atma. So every individual is a combination of Atma and Anatma. Like wave plus name and form ocean is equal to wave. The water plus name and form wave is equal to wave. Similarly here, Atma plus Anatma, the non-self, which is subtle body, gross body, causal body, all the four together constitute an individual. Of all these many components, many things which constitute the individual, of which really we have essence in everything. What is I? We have essence in the gross body, we have essence in subtle body, we have essence in the causal body also, actually. And then, of course, we don't say in ignorance, we don't say that I am, therefore, but still there is ajnana, identity is there. So I sense in everything. And subtle body means the five sense powers, five powers of organs of action, five pranas, our antakaranam, the mind, all of them constitute the subtle body. So I sense is in everything. Even if we call as five layers of personality, as pancha koshaha, we have annamaya kosha, pranamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha, anandamaya kosha, essence is there everywhere. So where do you place your essence? Everywhere you place. Individual means as an individual, essence is there everywhere. So Shastra makes it very clear. First, it makes understand what you are not, what I is not. So anything external to the physical body, anything which is perceptible, available for objectification, perceptible to the senses, definitely we know it is objectifiable, therefore it's an object of mind knowledge. But I am the knower. And anything perceptible, anything objectifiable, known through any of my five senses, definitely, is an object of my knowledge. Therefore, it is the known, I am the knower. I am the knower, anything other than, isn't it? External to the body is the known. So I don't mistake this mic for myself. I don't mistake the table for myself. I don't mistake anything else for myself. I'm very clear because they're all objects of my knowledge. I am the knower. I, the knower, am different from, distant from all that is known to me. There's no problem. And here Shastram goes, this is the basic kindergarten step introduced in the Shastram. First of all, to distinguish yourself from what you are not. It's very important because you are aiming at what? Now the knowledge of the truth of the whole, Brahma Jnanam, and that Brahma Aham Asti, isn't it? Aham Shabda is available for, we can say Aham Brahma Asmi, isn't it? Actually very truth of I, but here you have I means you mistake the entire, all the components which constitute the individual. Therefore, First of all, you need to know what you are not. Therefore, this I has to be distinguished from, you know, the non-I. To distinguish that, Shastram is a very beautiful, the prakriya. This is what the uniqueness of Vedanta. The prakriyas, all other traditions, no other tradition has the teaching methodology, the methods of unfoldment, called prakriya. Drik, drishya, viveka, prakriya. The method of distinguishing the self from the non-self, the basic thing. And this methodology, when you use this, it helps you, first of all, understand what you are not, which itself is a leap for a gross-minded person who just enters into the Shastra study. Oh, really? But we should get stuck here, isn't it? It's only entry. Therefore, here, come on, anything other than you, anything known to you, is an object of knowledge. What about, you know, different from you, what about your physical body, your toes, your feet, your shanks, your thighs, your back, your front, your arms, your hands, your fingers, your nails, your head, your neck, your hair, if you have, otherwise, you know, baldness, what a forehead, the nose, my God, the whole physical body, weigh 80 kilos or 90 kilos or 60 kilos, what is the weight? This physical body, isn't it known to you? If it is known to you, it's known. Known means, therefore, you are the knower, different from anything known to you. Now, this is the first negation. You have to shift with bitterness. I sense from the body. Oh my God, why? Because the body is as good as this mic. Why? Mic is known to me. I'm different from this mic. So this body always known to me. Therefore, I, the knower, am different from this known physical body. So first, what you are not. What you are not revealed. You have to study for years and years and years, understand, but still you have to assimilate, ascertain. There are so many who go after that. The very first class, you understand what you are not. Very clear. Doesn't contradict our reasoning at all. Yes, I am the knower. Body is known to me. Others' bodies are known to me. Similarly, my own body is also known to me. But I, the knower, am not distant, but distinct from this known physical body. Thereafter, not only this, go ahead. What about your sense powers through which you perceive this, because of which the sense organs have status of being sense organs? The subtle powers which are called indriyani, each indriyam is different from the golakam where it obtains. The golakam is a physical part. People may have golakam, they may not have the vision. People may have the eardrums and ear lobes, but they may not have the hearing power, isn't it? The power is called indriyam, the physical part is called golakam. So we have five golakani, and where we have subtle powers, these golakani are perceptible. The golakam is a Sanskrit word. I don't think we have an equivalent English word. So I say physical part, okay? The physical parts are perceptible, but the indriyani, the subtle powers, are not perceptible for other people. But you know whether your eyes can see, you know that your ears can hear, you know you have blocking nose because of common cold, you smell or not, you know whether you have taste buds. You can taste or not, you know whether you can feel or not, which means the sense powers are known to every individual, one's own self. Whether I can see or not, others cannot say, but I can say. That's why every time we go to an ophthalmologist also, and he has to ask you to fix your power. Come on, can you see that? Can you see that? Why? Because he, just by seeing your eyes, he cannot say what is your power. You have to say how you see, which means your seeing power is known to you, not to anybody else. That's why we call them subtle, sukshma. Why they are sukshma? They're not available. This is called sthula. The sthula, gross, is something which is perceptible, available for sense perception. But subtle or not available for sense perception. It's known to one's own self. Therefore, that's why even the sense powers are also what? Objects of your knowledge. Therefore, they're known to you and you are the knower, different from the sense powers. Here you understand, my God, even the sense powers are not, but actually say, I am not the sense powers, which means I has been shifted from the sense powers also. What you are not, you understand. Similarly, we have karma indriyani, the powers of organs of actions, power obtaining in the hands, legs, your organ of speech, reproductive organ and excretory organ. So all these powers also, what now? You know these powers are, but they are known to you. Therefore, they are also known, means you are the knower. The I, the knower, is different from, distinct from the known powers of organs of actions. Similarly here, we all about with five physiological functions constantly happening, which is also very subtle. You can't, even if you cut your heart open and see, you can't make out what is, how this function of circulation happens. So all these five functions, physiological functions, are given five different names. Why? Because one vital air governs the five different functions. Therefore, given five different names as pranaha, apanaha, vyanaha, samanaha, udanaha. What is pranaha? The prana is the vayu which governs the function of respiration, inhalation and exhalation. Then other one, vyanaha, so prana, then apana takes care of the excretion, the function of excretion. It governs the excretory system. Then vyanaha governs the function of circulation. Samanaha governs the function of digestion. And udanaha governs the function of retention. Isn't it? Therefore, all these five systems are governed by these five the pranas. We call the five physiological functions. And they also form part of the subtle body. The subtle, which interval, this gross body. And each prana is, the function is known to you. Don't see it physically, through physicalized, whether it's happening or not. You are comfortably sitting because your respiration is happening fine. And that is proper because your digestion is also okay. Some problems you may have, some small gas you may have, otherwise, but still it's all in normal condition. So all the functions are also known to you. Therefore, here you understand, even here you have to shift the essence, drag the essence from physiological functions also. Why? Because gone, isn't it? Therefore, they negate the objects of your knowledge. Even though your own system, your own, the functions happening in your physical body, still you are the knower, distinct, different from the known physiological function. We go to the one, mind, antahkaranam, antahkaranam, we say. So this mind again, varieties of thoughts constitute the antahkaranam. For our easy understanding, we separate these thoughts into, group them into four as manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha. Mind, intellect, memory and ego. So here we have to remember, ahankaraha, ego, is also what now? Part of the mind only. Ahankaraha. That is why you have to think a little bit. How we created our mind? Do we create our mind? No. Therefore, we cannot give it up. We can't give up our mind. Therefore, if ahankaraha is also part of this mind, can we give up our ahankara? we cannot give up our ahankara. Give up means, if I am holding on to something like this, come on Swamiji, please give up the mic, leave the mic aside, I can leave it aside. If I am holding on to ahankara like this, please give up means I can hold, leave it like this. So we can never give up ahankara. So people just use this expression, give up ahankara, give up ahankara. So ahankara, okay, we is an ego, isn't it? So what is this mind again? We can say ajnanam, leave, okay. Then we say, can say the confusion, delusion, dullness, fear, anxiety, jealousy, hatred, anger, desire, passion. All these are what? They're all different thought modifications. Vritti parinamaha. All of them constitute manaha. What about buddhihi then? Again, other group of thoughts we can say. Knowledge of anything. Knowledge, understanding, perception, clarity, cheerfulness, enthusiasm, resolve, fortitude. What are they? Different, again, thought modifications. They constitute buddhihi. What about chittam? Just the memory. If I can recollect what happened this morning, what happened yesterday, what happened last week, what happened last year, a few years ago, or in my childhood, isn't it? The food I ate, the dress I wore, people I met, the place I traveled, if I can remember anything of the past, I can recollect now, where do you recollect them from? They're all, which form are they existing in? They're all in the form of thoughts. So memory is nothing but many thoughts. Buddhihi is nothing but varieties of thoughts. Mind is nothing but varieties of thoughts. What about ego, ahankara? Isn't it? There's a knowledge, this jagat is. It's also knowledge is what? Buddhi. Okay? In the form of a thought. There the jagat is, people are, light is knowledge. Is a form of thought which is buddhi. But the knowledge I am, the knowledge I am is aham asmi iti jnanam is asmita abhankaraha. And this is the most precious thing which makes a human being a human being, which distinguishes the human being from every other being, which makes the human being the most sophisticated of all the creatures and the beings. Why? Asmita. Even Devi is called Asmita. Asmita means Asmi iti jnanam eva Asmita. The knowledge that I am. Isn't it? Absence of which makes a being an animal or a plant. Its knowledge makes the person being a human being. Only we are blessed with this knowledge. The knowledge I am. Therefore, ahankara is beautiful. Understand? It's nothing wrong. Imagine if we are not blessed with this knowledge I am. We will never be eligible to know what I am. This is half knowledge, ardha jnanam. The knowledge I am is half knowledge. The knowledge what I am makes this knowledge total, complete. Purnam jnanam. So thank God we need not work very hard to at least half knowledge Bhagavan has already blessed us with. And he has given some work. Isn't it? We have to make this jnanam purna jnanam by discovering who I am. What am I? Unfortunately, we do not know that we do not know what we are. We do not know that we need to know what we are. Anyway, that's a different thing. But here, please understand all these varieties of thoughts, manaha, buddhi, chitta, mahankara, constitute the antahkaranam. I'm just quickly going, okay? No time. And here, these thoughts, which thought is not known to you? Your anger is known to you, anxiety is known to you, your fear is known to you, your ignorance is known to you. If you know, you do not know French, your ignorance is also known to you. Your knowledge is known to you. Your jealousy is known to you. Your hatred is known to you. Your passion is known to you. Your aversion is known to you. Your memory is known to you. What you remember is known to you, definitely. And sometimes, not very clear. That's also known to you. Of course, you know you are. Your knowledge that you are is known to you. Isn't it true? Do you know you are or not? Therefore, the knowledge I am is also known to you. In deep sleep state, when you're fast asleep, not undisturbed, sound asleep, you do not even know you are. You are in sleep, not knowing you are. Understand? In waking, you know you are. In deep sleep state, you are not knowing you are. Which means the knowledge I am is there in waking state. The knowledge I am is not there in deep sleep state. It's known to you. Therefore, the knowledge I am also is known to you. So your ahankara is also known to you. Your manaha is known to you. Your buddhi is known to you. Everything is known to you. Therefore, antahkaranam, in English one word you can say, the mind as the whole is known to you, is object of your knowledge. Therefore, you are the knower, distinct from, definitely not distant from any of them. You are distinct from your antahkaranam also. Therefore, now the antahkaranam also is what now? You are, is it? The antahkaranam also is not the substance of the substantive I. You have negated. Body, mind, pranas, subtle powers, everything negated as non-self. So anything other than yourself, anything known to you, is the anatma, non-self. Now, whatever you have negated here as non-self, because they're all objects of your knowledge. You are the knower, different from the known. Anything you are the knower, anything known to you is an object of your knowledge. Therefore, you are different from the known means you have to include this dear body, mind and complex within this entire external world of objects, which is called Jagat, Prapanchaha. Okay, this also have to include. Now, what is Jagat? The entire external world, which is experienced by me through my sense powers, which includes my own physical body, mind, sense complex. Idam Shabda. Okay, indicate by the third person singular pronoun, this. Jagat means we always see things after the body. Now, after this Drishya Viveka Prakriya, using this, you understand, you have to include your body, mind, sense complex also as part of the objective universe. Jagat. Now, what are you? You are the knower, and there is the known prapanchaha in front of you. Drik and Drishya prapanchaha. There's a seer, there's a seen, there's a knower, the known world, experiencer and experienced world in front of you. So here, the known world, you know, it is elemental model, you say all that, anyway, material universe, you can say, what am I, who am I, this, who am I, knower. Who this knower is? Who this knower am I? Who am I? What this knower is? This knower has no gross body, no subtle body. This knower is distinct from the known gross body, all subtle aspects which we understand now, as sense powers, powers of organs, affections, physiological functions, and all thought modifications. You'll understand. The knower is only a status, qualification attributed to the reality. The reality obtaining in every individual has temporary disqualification attributed. How? Let me tell you. What the reality is, will come to that later on. See, now here in this room, there are many things, and including our physical bodies. All these things, all our physical bodies, everything that is here is opaque in nature. Every object here is opaque in nature. Opaque object. Opaque object means it cannot, does not shine by itself. Which means if there is no such thing called a substance called a light, and all these things will be as good as non-existent. Why? Because they will remain covered in darkness. All these opaque things, including our physical bodies, or every physical body, a living physical body, and a non-living things like wall, pictures and furniture, whatnot, the plants, etc. Everything here will be as good as non-existent if they remain covered in darkness. They can enjoy the status of being existent only when they shine. When can they shine? When do they shine? Do they shine independently on their own? Definitely not. They shine only if there is light. If minus light, there'll be darkness. In darkness, they'll be as good as non-existent. I'm not saying they'll be non-existent. They will be as good as non-existent. So now all these things shine, which means they are all well illumined. For the illumined world of opaque objects. So the illumined objects shine. They shine, that is the proof that they are illumined. They're illumined means definitely there is an illumination. Isn't it? The illumined exists, which means there is an illumination. Without the illumination, there cannot be the illumined objects, opaque things. So there is illumination means there must be the illuminator. Is there an illuminator or not? There is an illuminator, definitely. Because there is illumination and there is the world of illumined opaque things. And you have to ask this question, who this illuminator is? We all know very well, illuminator is, we know. We have no doubt. Illuminator is, why do we say? Because there is illumination, because there is the world of illumined opaque things shining. But we do not know what that illuminator is, who that illuminator is. And finally, we stumble upon this fact that there is no illuminator other than the light. Colors shine, forms shine, shapes shine, living things shine, non-living things shine, all varieties of innumerable countless opaque things shine, but all of them shine because there is an illuminator, and that one and the only illuminator is none other than light. When you say illuminator is light, you have resolved the illuminator in the light. Why? If the light is not there, nothing shines. There's no illumination. There's no illumined opaque things. Therefore, the illuminator is none other than light. Does the light have any form? Of course, light means not any particular form apart from being the light. No. Now we can, this is what we have to understand. Now light is the very swarupam of the illuminator. Light is the truth of the illuminator. Reality of the illuminator. Why? Because without the light, there cannot be the illuminator. Illuminator status. But without being the illuminator, the light can be. Without enjoying the status of being the illuminator, the light can be. There can't be illuminator without the light. But illuminator is light. You have resolved the illuminator in the light. And how many lights are here? Tell me. How many illuminators are here? Illumined opaque things are many, varied. How many illuminators are there? You want to say illuminator of mic, illuminator of table, illuminator of coffee table, illuminator of sofa, illuminator of wall, illuminator of living, the physical forms, men's bodies and female bodies and then flowers. How many illuminators are there? Is it illumined or many? Illuminator is one, and the swarupam of the illuminator is the light. You have to say the illuminator is light. Similarly, here we have to say Arevat now. We have negated very clearly the body, mind, sense complex being objects of my knowledge. They different from me. I, the knower, am different from the body, mind, sense complex. One more thing I tell you. What is the distance between the illumined mic and the illumining light or illuminator light? What is the distance? Light is distinct from the opaque mic, but not distant, inseparably close, nearest, isn't it? Inseparably one. Similarly here, the knower is non-distant from the known body, mind, sense complex, known anything, but distinct, but not distant. But nothing can, no opaque thing can ever be distanced from the light. Wherever the opaque shines, it is in and through pervaded by the light, it shines in the light. Similarly, is it clear now? Therefore, here also there's no distance between the knower and the known. Even the knower is distinct from the known. And what is knower is? Okay, here we use one more other prakriya. Avastha traya prakriya. I'm just jumbling a lot of things and quickly saying something. Okay. This avastha traya, the method of analyzing three states of experiences. So drik drishya helps you distinguish the self. The self is a reflexive pronoun. The truth of I obtaining in every mind. I obtaining in every mind is what first person singular pronoun. The truth of I, the knower, obtaining in every mind is what the self, the innermost self, which is a reflexive pronoun. So here, what the truth is, isn't it? So this, that self, the truth of I, actually, is distinct. Not definitely, I is not definitely the body, the mind, the senses, the body mind is complex. That much you unarrive it very clearly. But this next tip, another prakriya, if you analyze the waking state, the experience is a state of mind. Dream experience is a state of mind. Deep sleep also is what? A state of mind, which is another experience. Three states of experience are three states of mind, which means mind is what? Each state of mind is each state of experience. Waking, dream, deep sleep state. Now, which we call, when you say it's experience, it implies what? There cannot be an experience without the experiencer. There's a waking experience means there is an experiencer. The dream experience, there's an experiencer. Deep sleep state experience, there's an experiencer. And how many experiencers are there? One and the only experiencer obtaining. So there are the continuously So each state of experience is what? Actually, they are all these three states of experience are mutually exclusive. They're discontinuous, isn't it? Waking is dream and deep sleep state are not. You can't say, no, I sleep as well as I keep awake. You can't say that. It's not possible. In dream, other two are not there. In deep sleep state, other two are not there. So all these states of experience are discontinuous and mutually exclusive. So in this mutually exclusive, discontinuous, variable states of experience, what is continuously, invariably, there is the one and the only experiencer. Not only in one mind, in all the minds. Like how illuminator of mic, illuminator table, illuminator thing is one and the only illuminator. Here similarly, the experiencer obtaining in all the minds, in all three states of experience, one and the only experiencer. There's one experience in me and one experience in you, other experience in me. No. One and the only experiencer obtaining in all the minds, in all three states of experience. What that experiencer is. You say, I am the experiencer. Okay, you are the experiencer. Of course, you are the experiencer. Who are you? Who are you, the experiencer? You see, that which is, no, in waking, there is knowledge I am. In deep sleep state, the knowledge I am is not there. You are not knowing you are, as I told already. And next day when you wake up, you say, I slept very well. I slept like a log of wood. I did not even, how can you say I slept like a log of wood? You have to say next line, I did not even know that I existed in sleep. How do you know that you slept well? How do you know that you did not know that you existed? You were not there, you were there. Which means you are there in sleep also, isn't it? Which means, what is that which is there because of the presence of which the knowledge I am being there is known? The knowledge I am being not there is also known. That is different from the knowledge I am. And that is pure consciousness. This is the only way you can arrive at what consciousness means. Now, when you talk about you are not arriving at consciousness as an object, no way of arriving at consciousness as an object. You're arriving at consciousness not even as a subject I. You're arriving at consciousness as the very truth of I. Understand? As a swarupam of I. Who is that experiencer, the knower, obtaining in deep sleep state, and because of whose presence the knowledge I am being not there shines, and because of whose presence the knowledge I am being there shines in waking. Isn't it? There is no knower experiencer other than consciousness. You are resolving, I the knower am consciousness. You have to say, I the knower is none other than nothing but consciousness. Now we have to say, just as you said, light is the truth, the swarupam of the illuminator. The pure consciousness is the swarupam, the truth of I, the knower, the subject of knowledge. Therefore, the consciousness is neither the subject nor the object. It is truth of I. The swarupam of I, the knower. It's a big lesson. I have to make you understand how the same consciousness, truth of I, the swarupam of the knower, is the swarupam of this whole jagat, the truth of the entire everything. Cosmos. Is it clear? But still I will use some works as a proper way of unfolding so many things systematically, but to make it very quickly, short, and I just will do something. There can't be an illuminator without the light. So existence of light is the existence of the illuminator. Isn't it true? Existence of illuminator is the existence of illumination. Existence of illumination is the existence of the illumined. For existence of illuminator is the existence of the illumined. The illumined cannot enjoy the status of being the illumined without the existence of the illuminator. Therefore, existence of illuminator is the existence of the illumined. And existence of light is the existence of the illuminator. Therefore, existence of light is the existence of the illumined. Therefore, light is the existence of the illumined. It is the, understand now, light just by its mere presence, without doing any action. Sannidhi matrena, it lends existence to the entire world of opaque things. Similarly here, existence of the consciousness is the existence of the knower. Existence of the knower is the existence of the knowledge. Existence of the knowledge is the existence of the known universe. Okay, experience, I like to say that word. So existence of the experiencer is the existence of the experienced world of objects. Understand? There can't be the experienced enjoying the status of being the experienced without the experiencer. Therefore, existence of consciousness is the existence of the experienced material cosmos. Now we say, therefore, consciousness is the existence of the universe. Chit eva sat. I am not doing my justice, okay? Don't mistake me for doing all these things. One day class means if I will do like this only. Now, not only the truth of I, the knower, is consciousness, the truth of the whole cosmos also is consciousness. When you look at the truth of the I, consciousness, as the truth of the whole, you see it as the existence of the universe. It's like saying the existence of the water, the substance, is the existence of the substantive ocean. Similarly, existence of consciousness is the existence of the substantive universe. Therefore, existence of the universe is nothing but consciousness. Consciousness obtains in the form of existence of the universe. If you ask in what form does the truth exist in every form? In what form does the water exist in every wave in the entire ocean? What is the form of the water obtaining in every wave in the entire ocean? Water obtains the form of the existence of the ocean. Got it? Little, you have to see differently. Similarly, the pure consciousness which I have arrived at through these prakriyas, negating, understanding first what I am not, you have to understand first. Then what you are, you arrive at. After arriving at, you resolve the very idea over in consciousness. And then you see the same consciousness being the existence of the whole cosmos. There's no existence of the universe other than consciousness. Does water exist in ocean, or there was a ocean exist in water? We always look at it, water is in the ocean, isn't it? No, the ocean, name and form ocean, does not exist independent of water, outside of water. The ocean, listen, has its existence, enjoys its existence in the water. Similarly, the whole jagat, including you, the experiencer, enjoys its existence in the consciousness, the pure awareness. We did Chandi. Remember that one verse in the fifth chapter when we completed Namaskara? Chiti rupenaya krishnam etat vyapya sthita jagate. Chiti rupenaya krishnam etat krishnam jagate vyapya sthita. The one who remains pervading this entire cosmos in and through as pure consciousness. Namastasi, 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 namo namah. Unto her meditations. Chiti rupena ya krishnam etat jagat vyapyasthita. Chiti rupena ya krishnam etat vyapyasthita jagat. Namastasi, 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 namo namah. Who else is here? Anya apara ka, mama para anya ka, she says Devi there. Who else is there other than me here? So here absolutely what is there is water, but relatively innumerable countless forms, the ocean, the waves, the ripples, the drops and whatnot in the ocean. Similarly here, relatively, empirically, innumerable countless forms and names and things, but what is absolutely there is pure consciousness, which is the existence and which is of the nature of fullness. What is fullness? Make it a noun form. Fullness is a noun. Being full is equal to fullness. What effort should the water make as the truth of the ocean to fill the ocean. Does it need to make any effort? Being the very truth of the ocean, reality of the ocean, existence of the ocean, the water, being full is its very nature. Being pervasive is its very swarupam. Sarva gatatvam, puragatvam is its very, purnatvam is its very swarupam. Is it clear? Similarly here, what effort should consciousness make to pervade, to fill, to be full of this entire cosmos of innumerable countless beings and objects and things? So being full is the very swarupam of the truth. Being full is equal to, make it noun form, fullness. And that reality, which is of the nature of fullness, what is it, swarupam here? Nature is, being full is the very swarupam, nature, not a kar, not action, not an effort. Water need not make an effort to come on, let me go and fill that pot. You know, being full is very nature, and with reference to ocean. Similarly here, conscious being full is the very nature, therefore the reality which is of the nature of fullness. Now, does it depend upon, that is, water depend upon the ocean, the namarupa for its existence? No. The very existence of the water is the existence of the ocean. Therefore, it's independent, isn't it? Similarly here, the consciousness which is of the nature of fullness, which lends existence to the whole cosmos, which is the existence of the universe, also independent of the universe, does not depend upon the world, the material universe, for its existence. Being independent, it is of the nature of self-existence. Self-existent. Self-existent means here what? Now we say consciousness, it has no time limitation. Which means it has no beginning, it has no end. In fact, time factor itself is subject to time limitation. Time is subject to time limitation. I have to explain a lot of things. I'll go into the details, okay? Short time. You understand, time is relative. This is took very long to tell us. Shastram says long, long ago. Time is relative. Because time itself is a factor which is subject to time limitation. Okay? Time has a beginning and time has an end. Whereas consciousness is not subject to time limitation, which is free from time limitation. It has no beginning, it has no end. Therefore, it is timeless. Therefore, it is eternal. Timeless, therefore, it is eternal. And it is of the nature of changelessness also. Because it is self-existent, it has no cause, therefore, it is beginningless. Anything has a cause means you get to talk about the beginning. The table, wood, this table has a cause, therefore it has a beginning. The form has a beginning. Whereas here, being self-existent, it has no cause, therefore it is beginningless, therefore it is endless, it is changeless, it is timeless, it is eternal, therefore it is timeless, limitless. And not only that, and because it is spatially also free from limitation, spatial limitation also, because space is the only object which is free from spatial limitation, and a space, all accommodative space itself is an object of knowledge. Therefore, understand now, the consciousness pervades the all accommodative space. So consciousness is free from spatial limitation, Of course, consciousness being the truth of every piece of knowledge, it is free from object limitation also. I'm not taking much time to explain properly. I'm sorry, because short of time, I have to go to mantra, okay? So here, we have to understand, consciousness is free from time, space, object limitations. Therefore, we can say, kala, desha, vastu, aparichinnatvat. Because free from these threefold limitations, it is of the nature of limitlessness. Therefore, it is implied by the term Brahma. Limitlessly, incomparably big is Brahma. The word Brahma means what? Incomparably, limitlessly big. How limitlessly big it is? Time-wise, spatially, object-wise, limitless. It's too much. I shouldn't be giving too much like this. It is not all right in my part. But because they expected me to say something like that, I'm saying. Okay? I can say anything. But if it goes above the head, I'm sorry. Anyway, we'll catch up later on. Don't worry. I tell you, when you understand this fact, there is no fullness other than consciousness, reality. There is no reality other than consciousness. There is no fullness other than the reality. There is no limitlessness other than the reality. Fullness and limitlessness are synonyms, which is of the nature. Reality is of the nature of fullness and limitlessness. And here, where are you when you have resolved your identity? I, the knower, am consciousness, which is free from threefold limitations, therefore Brahma. This is a fact, not cock and bull story. It's a verifiable fact, not something you have to believe. It's not a matter for believing. You're asked to believe this. It's a fact which you have to understand, assimilate, ascertain, and it has a verifiable fact this is. In this jnanam, when your identity is, now physically you are sitting here, but still you have cognitively, physically not doing anything, still you are limited individual here, relatively, but cognitively you have shifted the eye-sense from the body, from your mind, from your sense powers, from everything, and placed it in consciousness, resolved it in consciousness, and you understand the consciousness being the existence of the whole cosmos, and you understand the consciousness being, consciousness is of the nature of fullness and limitlessness. Understand that when you have resolved, you shifted the eye sense, means you do not look upon yourself anymore as a limited individual. The vision of the reality, self being the reality, the consciousness, which is the truth of the whole, you do not see yourself as a limited individual. Aham Brahma Asmi. In that vision, you have resolved all the problems caused by this wrong identity. In Ajnanam, you have wrong identity. What is the wrong identity you have? Your identity with everything, all the entire individual component, isn't it? Therefore, then, as long as you have, our Shastram says, as long as you have identity with this wrong identity, mistake the non-self for the self. Of course, relatively you have to have identity, but absolutely you have to be very clear. I'm individual, obtaining in this body, mind is complex relatively, but absolutely I am consciousness. Like you can see the wave, you can see the ocean, at the same time you understand water being the only substance of the whole show. This, you have this cognitively, you appreciate this fact, isn't it? You are seeing the small, tiny waves. You are seeing the big ocean. You see the differences, wave, difference, wave, ocean, difference. You are not denying your perception at all. You are undoing anything. You see them as they are, but you cognitively appreciate the fact there is only substance called water. Similarly here, what alone appears as the whole show here. Similarly, the here, that even relatively maybe an individual here, but cognitively you have shifted the I sense. That you resolved I sense in the reality, which is the vision of the truth, which is the absolute knowledge, which is the wisdom. That wisdom and identity, when you corrected the error in perception of yourself, or in the wake of the knowledge of one's own self being identical with the truth of the whole Brahma, you have corrected the error in perception of yourself. In correcting the error in perception of yourself, you have resolved all the problems caused by the erroneous self-perception. I am small, I am insignificant, I am unhappy. Understand? All these problems also will resolve. These are all the notions you entertain about yourself. I am small, I am insignificant, I am inadequate, I am unhappy. All these are notions you entertain about yourself. These notions are based on your erroneous self-perception. When you resolve these wrong notions, correct these notions, resolve these notions by correcting the error in perception of yourself, by having the right vision of not perception, you correct the error in perception of yourself through right, correct vision of the self. Not the perception of the self. Vision of the self, truth. What happens? Your sorrow resolves. Then what is there is happiness, fullness. Understand? That is what is happiness. Happiness is not a state of mind. It's not at all a state of mind. If we try to work for the state of mind through meditation or something else, we'll be utter failure. Or it'll be endless effort. Because happiness can never attain. It's not a state of mind. It is your very swarupam, where you are. In fact, self-knowledge or knowledge of the reality will be useless unless it contributes for resolving your problems. Our Shastram says all your problems, individual problems, big or small, whatever is the human problem, misery, that is basically because of the error in one's perception of one's own self as well as the perception of the world. The error in perception of the world will be corrected if the error in perception of one's own self is corrected. And the error in perception of one's own self is because of, isn't it, wrong identity. The wrong identity is because of self-ignorance. And self-ignorance is actually the ignorance of the truth of the whole. To ignorance of the very reality. Understand? Therefore, I just brought a lot of things together. Therefore, if at all you want to protect yourself, every insurance, everything will protect relatively, definitely. Savings will protect you relatively. But absolutely, if you want protection, protection is nowhere else It is the knowledge. Knowledge alone is protection. So Ishavasya Upanishad, the first mantra says, Ishavasyam idam sarvam yat kinchi jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bunjitaha magrida kaschid dhanam. So bunjitaha. Bunjitaha means always people will say, may you eat, enjoy. Literal meaning. But here in this verse, bunjitaha, when you, it is a second person imperative verb. You say bunjitaha means may you protect yourself. How can you protect yourself? Tyaktena. Tyaktena means tyagena, through renunciation. May you protect yourself through renunciation. Immediately you'll all feel like asking, renunciation means should we go wearing saffron robes? No. Renunciation means what? Renouncing the erroneous notion you have about yourself. Resolving the wrong notions. When you, oh, the whole jagat is so real, it's very much real. If you say that is erroneous perception of the world. If you say I'm a limited individual, I'm a mortal, I'm going to die one day, I'm unhappy, then it's an erroneous notion you have about yourself, isn't it? Therefore, may you protect yourself through renunciation. Tyaktena bunjitaha. May you protect yourself through renunciation. Next, there's no way of protecting yourself. The next question comes, what is renunciation? Renunciation through knowledge. There's no way of renouncing anything here. Renunciation is only through jnanam. Understand? The cognitive shift, cognitive change, the perspective change which takes place is what? Actual renunciation. May you protect yourself. Don't expect the world to change. You change your perception. You can't simply change by shifting by having by going to some laser treatment or anything. The perception, perspective change is a cognitive change. Isn't it? Which is through knowledge. Therefore, may you protect yourself through renunciation, through your perspective change, through your cognitive shift. Change. And what do you mean by perspective change? What do you mean by renunciation through knowledge? Vidvat sannyasaha. Vidvat sannyasa means renunciation through knowledge. What is renunciation through knowledge? He says, seeing everything as Brahma. This is what is seeing all that is there is Brahma. Brahma Mokate. You have that beautiful, no? People go and stand in queue in Tirupati and they listen to this song. Brahma Mokate Parabrahma. No? But we never see that. Very profound words of Annamaya, isn't it? They reflect the Upanishadic vision, but there's no unfoldment there. You have to see the unfoldment of the Upanishads and then you can see the depth of the vision expressed in those lyrics. All that is here is only Brahma. All that is here is only the reality. What is here is only Paramatma. You want to be little, as you can say, what is this only Bhagavan, Ishvaraha. There's no second thing other than, there's no second reality, there's no second thing other than Brahma. I, you, this, he, she, it, those, these, all these differences are relatively real, empirically real. They are not unreal. They are not non-existent. They are very much there, but relatively empirically real, seemingly real. Absolutely, the non-difference is real. Non-duality is real. Because the oneness of the reality, isn't it? The reality is, reality alone is here. This is the vision of the fact. Vision of the truth will bless you with the vision of the fact. There's only Brahma. There's no second thing other than Brahma. Isn't it? Everything is as though that it is said differently. Here, Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam. Idam Sarvam means this entire cosmos. Whatever little you say, Yat Kincha Jagat Jagatyam. Jagat means all. Jayate Gacchati Iti Jagat. That which keeps coming and going, isn't it? The mobile, immobile, living, non-living, animate, inanimate, sentient, insentient, all that is here. Now, it is incomprehensibly vast, inexplicably vast. This cosmos of Buddha is too small to comprehend how vast this universe is, isn't it? Too small. Therefore, that's why incomprehensibly, inexplicably, there was this cosmos consisting of, constituted of innumerable countless forms and beings and names. This Jagat, the entire Jagat, Idam Sarvam, Isha Vasyam. Yat Kincha Jagatyam, Yat Kincha Idam Sarvam, Isha Vasyam. Vasyam is a potential passive participle. Vasudhatu is there. Vasane means to cover. That's why Vastram is called Vastram in Sanskrit. To cover. So Isha means Ish Shabdha Shakaranta. Eat. Ishwarena. Ishwarena means by the Lord. So it means with the Lord. Who is the Lord here? Is the Lord other than the truth? There's no Lord other than the truth. There's no God other than the truth. Sorry to say this, whether we like it or not. This is a fact. There is no God, there is no Lord other than reality. Therefore, Isha Vasyam, this entire cosmos must be, should be covered. Covered with what? Covered with the reality, the Lord. It's literal meaning. So covering the universe with reality means what? Covering it means make this world, understanding this world, being as though. It's like, may you cover this entire ocean full of waves with water, DH2O. If I tell you, what does it mean? Understand, water is the only substance without which the substantives, wave and ocean will be meaningless. They cannot even exist without the water. They borrow their existence from the water. Understand? And when you see, you know, before knowing water being the truth of the ocean, oh, what is there is, there is ocean, there are so many waves, all are different from each other. But once you see the water being the truth, you say, all these differences are there, wave-wave difference, wave-ocean difference are there relatively. Absolutely, there is non-difference. Why? The truth of every wave, all the waves, the entire ocean is the one and the only water. Then you say, really speaking, water alone is in the form of waves and ocean. There is no real ocean, there is no real wave, there are not real waves. What is there is only water. Water alone is in the form of ocean. When you say you have covered the ocean with water, which means water alone is satyam. If at all I experience the ocean, which is in my perception, I am not undoing, denying my perception of plurality of waves, my perception of ocean being different from the wave, wave being different from the ocean. At the same time, without denying my perception, retaining my perception, I see beyond my perception the fact of vision of the non-dual reality, the water. Which means I covered the ocean with the water. Similarly here also, I did not deny, I cannot undo my perception of plurality, duality, understand, multiplicity. At the same time, beyond this perception, I cognitively appreciate the fact of vision of non-duality of the reality. All that is here is only appearance of the one and the only consciousness, the reality. In fact, I have to say something differently, manifestation, but that needs some time to make you understand what is a lot of teaching. The whole jagat is in fact manifestation, like the entire world of opaque things is nothing but reflection of light. Similarly, the whole jagat is the material universe of living and non-living things is nothing but, now there is a motion in motionless consciousness, seeming motion in motionless consciousness. The whole jagat is a seeming motion in motionless consciousness. Discover the truth of, discover yourself and see yourself being identical with the truth of the whole, see yourself being identical with the truth of the whole Brahma, see yourself being Brahma. And with that, there's no Ishvara, Bhagavan, other than the truth, Brahma. And may you cover this universe with Brahma, Ishvara, the Lord, the truth, the reality. Ishvarena acharitavyam. May you cover this entire universe, means what? See this jagat being mithya, as though. This is what is vision of non-duality, unity in diversity. You are blessed with this vision, and be that is what is what. Then, you have not You cannot give up ahankara now. I has dropped itself by itself. Understand now? You are giving up. Cognitively you are resolved, you are resolving your identity. Understand? In reality. Thereby you are resolved individuality in totality. If the wave sees its truth being water, the wave resolves identity with the water, resolves its individuality in totality, the ocean. Understand? I am the whole, you can say. Then, what is that vision? Is there that being blessed with that vision is what? Vidvat sannyasaha. Renunciation through knowledge. And it is this vision of the non-duality of the reality, non-dual reality, as one's own self, is in fact the sannyasa. This vidvat protection is, vidvat sannyasa is protection. So, vision of the non-duality of the reality as one's own self is vidvat sannyasa, which is protection. So, jnanam eva rakshakam is the meaning of the first line. Without bhashyam, if I do the class, I do like this. With bhashyam, I do it little differently. Okay? Therefore, isha vasyam idam sarvam yat kinchat jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bunjitaha. May you protect yourself through renunciation, which is wisdom. Renunciation through knowledge implies what? Wisdom. What is wisdom? Absolute knowledge. Knowledge of the absolute reality. One more sentence we have. Magrida kaschisudhanam. Shankara Bhagavatpada gives two meanings here. May you not covet anybody else's wealth. But actually other meaning he gives. Kaschisudhanam. Akshepaarte. In a prashna. Whose wealth is here? Can you say my wealth, your wealth, his wealth? All that is there is, we can't even say Bhagavan's wealth. Apostrophe also you can't put. No, why? What is there is only Bhagavan means. Bhagavan's you can't separate. All that is here is only Paramatma, Brahma, Bhagavan means. If it belongs to Bhagavan also, we can, for initially you can say. But actually speaking, there's only Bhagavan. So, kaschisudhanam, whose wealth is here? Is anybody else's wealth, anything here? Is anything else, wealth means what? Is anything else which you own, I own, he owns, she owns? Anybody else owns? Who is the owner here of anything? There is no owner-owned division. Possessor-possessed division. Absolutely. Relatively all of them are there, okay? So I can't say city here, Varnas, Raniyama, come on. There's a one-on-one distribution. I'll sit here, I got. Relatively, all this is there. I'm not saying no. Absolutely. There's no possessor-possessed division, owner-owned division. What is there is only Bhagavan. Initially, we can say nothing belongs to me, everything belongs to Bhagavan, you can say. Afterward, you have to say, there's no belonging to Bhagavan. What is there is only Bhagavan, only Brahma, only Paramatma. All the differences are relative, empirical. Tena tyaktena bhunjitaha magrida kaschisudhanam. Kaschisudhanam, whose wealth is here? Who is the owner of anything here? Where is the owner-owned division here? Therefore, seek protection only in jnanam. That knowledge is actual renunciation. So knowledge, renunciation through knowledge is protection. We are not giving up anything, we are not holding on to anything. In ajnanam, we become afflicted. In jnanam, we free ourselves. We are already free. You free yourself from the notion that you are afflicted. You are not even becoming free. Understand? You free yourself from the wrong notion that you are afflicted. Let me give some time for you to questions, okay? In fact, may this entire cosmos be negated as mithya. May this entire universe be falsified as mithya through the vision of the reality. That is the actual meaning of the first sentence. Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagat Idam Sarvam Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagat Isha Vasyam means may this entire cosmos, what is here, everything entire, the universe in its entirety, be negated as mithya, be falsified as mithya. How can you falsify the jagat as mithya? How can you negate the jagat as mithya? Through the vision of the truth. The falsification, negation is possible only if you have the vision of the truth. And how can you have the vision of the truth? Only as the truth of yourself. Therefore, by simply asking the question, what am I, who am I? As Swapuji Swamiji says, you will not understand, move from inch from where you are, will not move any distance from where you are. Take the help of the Shastram. Understand Shastra Pramanam. With the help of the Shastram, help Shastra means through the study of the Shastram with the help of the competent teacher. Understand this, the truth, and through the vision of the reality. So Isha means through the vision of the reality. As one's own self. Reality being one's own self. May this entire jagat, or the jagat is entity, be negated as mithya, falsified as mithya. May this be covered. Covering means physically you are not doing anything here. So cognitively you negate it as mithya. Just to see. Without doing anything, you can say the whole ocean is mithya. Mithya means what? That which is as though, which is not really there. What is really there is only water. You can say the ocean is real if it has independent existence. You remove the water, then the ocean, the name and form of ocean with all the waves continues to exist even when the water is not there, then you can say what? It's also real. Because water is one thing, the second thing, it exists independently. Independently, it exists even when the water is removed. The ocean continues to exist. Then you can say ocean is second thing, another reality which has independent existence. Therefore, it's also real. Water is not there, ocean will disappear. There won't be ocean, there won't be waves. Therefore, but still I'm experiencing the ocean. That is why you cannot call the ocean unreal. Because you're experiencing it, therefore it is not unreal. But it has no, it cannot exist independently without the water, therefore it is not real. Then you have to give a different technical term, mithya. Understand? It is neither real nor unreal. Water is the reality. Ocean is not, neither real nor unreal. It is mithya. Mithya means that which is as though, that which enjoys existence, depending upon satyam, the water. Similarly, the whole jagat here is not unreal. Why not unreal? We are experiencing. Is not real. Why? Because there is no independent existence. What is mithya? Just as though. And understanding this fact of jagat being mithya is covering the jagat, or falsifying the jagat, negating the jagat. How can you do this? Only when you understand what is that one substance minus which jagat will be as good as non-existent. Kasmin vijnate sarvam vijnatam bhavati, isn't it? Well, one thing, by knowing which everything else becomes known as it were. The truth of the whole, isn't it? That you arrive at as what? Not as an object. You go to it as the truth of the very subject, the knower. I, the knower. You arrive at it. This is what. That's why through the vision of the reality alone, have the vision of the reality as the vision, the truth of your own self, thereby see, understand the fact of jagat being mithya, which is cognitively you falsify, negate the jagat as mithya. And this jagataha mithya karanam, isn't it? Seeing this jagat as mithya through the vision of the reality is in fact vidvat sannyasa, wherein you resolve you drop the ahankara, you don't drop, it drops, it resolves. Ahankara becomes resolved. Ahankara, no, all wrong identity goes, erroneous perception resolves, the problems resolve, which is renunciation through knowledge, vidvat sannyasaha. And this is the only way you can protect yourself. Te tyaktena bhunjitaha. All that is here is only Paramatma. There is no owner of anything here. Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamivavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Tat Sat. Sri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om. If you want to ask anything?
Such a big subject, so I don't know. At least I know Brahma is fruit. So it has to be known.
What's the difference between conscience and consciousness?
Conscience is nothing but consciousness obtaining as the witness of your own mind. Conscience is consciousness, but consciousness is not the conscience. The consciousness obtaining as the witness of your mind, as the very you, is conscience. You are the conscience, in fact. This conscience is you. Manasakshi. Who is the witness of the mind? Consciousness is not the witness, but there is no witness of the mind other than consciousness. So the consciousness obtaining as the witness of the mind is given the name conscience. Manasakshi. The name. As a witness of the mind, it gets the qualification, like how knower. The standpoint of the mind, the consciousness gets the name knower, experiencer.
Conscientious.
Being conscious.
You can add one more. Nice
to say. Status. Temporary status attribute to consciousness. That obtains as the witness of the mind. I have not done my justice, okay? Because 1 hour, if I had to do something, means I just thought, okay, I'll bring in everything.
It's a vast.
So much is there, but anyway, just because you wanted something differently, so it's okay.
No, it has played some crucial parts for
me. It's a beautiful exposition in a short time.
Yeah. No, but it's a
summary. I've read so many books and things like that. Today, everything became very clear. In the last 3 hours, it's just fantastic. So it's like they said, you need a room. You can't read a book.
Yes,
I believe it.
Okay. There's food available. In case you have one break.
Thank you very much, Swami.
Thank you.
So I thank Malli Mama and Rani Mami.